Praise be Jesus and Mary. So for the first reading, we continue with the book of Genesis, and we see how after the fall, it's God who seeks out man who has sinned, right? The great love of God for man. He is seeking him out, man who has hidden himself. Where are you? And Adam answered, I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. So here we see the bad response of man in regard to sin, right? What he should have done is humbled himself, acknowledged his sin, and repented. But instead, there's the temptation, with pride as its root, to distance oneself from God. You know, that sense of despair. Kind of heard that in the words of St. Peter in the boat when he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Right? But instead, God wants to show us his love and his mercy. If only we humble ourselves, repent of our sins, and change our lives. But here we have Adam who flees and wants to hide from God. And he doesn't want to admit his fault when confronted with it. He's not being humble. He says, or God said, "Who told you that you were naked? You have eaten then from the tree which I had forbidden you to eat." And what did the man reply? "The woman who you put here with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and so I ate it. Not my fault." Right? And then what does the woman say? "Why did you do such a thing?" God says to the woman. And she says, "The serpent tricked me into it, so I ate it." Now we need to remember that nobody and no thing can make us sin. Right? We can certainly be tempted and drawn to sin by the devil, allurements of the world, and our own flesh, concupiscence. But no one can make us sin. That's an act of the will, which remains free. And of course, we have at our disposal the help of God's grace. So when we sin, it is our fault. Okay? Human weakness or malice, negligence, you know, not using the means that we have at our disposal to avoid sin. And so then comes justice. Okay? God is also just, and he pronounces certain punishments to the serpent. All right? He pronounces ultimately the defeat of the serpent. This is the Protoevangelium, the first gospel, when God promises in the coming of the Savior, the new Adam and the new Eve, "I will put enmity between you," the serpent, "and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." Okay, this refers to Our Lady, the new Eve, and her offspring, first and foremost, the Savior, Redeemer of the world, Jesus Christ, and also his brethren, right, Christians. He puts enmity between the serpent and the woman, between her offspring and the devil's offspring, right? The demons who followed Satan in his rebellion, and all human beings who cooperate with the devil in his disobedience and rebellion against God. "He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel," right? So the Vulgate translation says, "She will strike it," well, "she will crush your head, and you will strike at her heel." Valid translation, and the same thing we have here, the New Vulgate has, "He will crush your head, and you will strike at his heel." Again, valid translation, and we shouldn't be surprised, right? Because it's the Redeemer with the co-redemptrix. Just as the woman had a secondary, subordinate, dependent role in the fall, Adam having primacy and headship, so in the redemption, It would be the new Adam having, of course, primacy, and the new Eve, Our Lady, having a secondary, dependent, and subordinate role as co-redemptrix. But for Eve and for Adam, there were just punishments to come for their disobedience. And what was it for Eve? I will intensify the pangs of your childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your urge shall be for your husband, and he shall be your master. Right? That is the penance that God provided as a way to make reparation. Right? Do penance in reparation for your sin. So what is going to be the temptation for women is not to do their penance. They will be tempted not to have children, right? To practice contraception, abortion, natural family planning without just cause, right? That is going to be the temptation, not to be generous in childbearing. Remember, St. Paul, 1 Timothy 2:15, says that the woman shall be saved in childbearing, in bearing children. And the husband shall be your master. So what's going to be the temptation for the wife? To be the master of the house, the head of the household. So you need to be aware of those temptations. Now for the man, what's his penance? To labor, right? By the sweat of your face, you shall get bread to eat, right? In toil shall you eat its yield all the days of your life. So this is man's penance, that he now has to labor in pain and fatigue in order to support himself and his wife and his children. So what is going to be the temptation of man? The temptation is going to be lazy, to not want to work, right? To buy your wife a lawnmower for a Christmas present, right? You may want to examine your conscience if that's the case, okay? So men need to be diligent, okay? Good laborers, good workers, putting in their work for a just wage, and also being head of the household, to be leaders of your family, especially in the spiritual realm, right? To be leaders in the faith. And so we put our trust in the Redeemer and the co-redemptrix. We do our penance in this life in order to obtain salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.